Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Big 12 Nation. Another week. We are back at it, man. Here we go again. All over again. But good news and bad news. Good news is we've got a team, it looks like, that looks like they want to win the Big 12 outright. And since Georgia lost, now the SEC propaganda wagon, that is ESPN, can't try and force two SEC teams in the championship game. Now, what has to happen now for our hopes as Big 12 fans is that we have to make sure that somehow, some way, Oklahoma finishes out with no more losses. And it's going to look good anyway, because Michigan State beat Ohio State. Ohio State beat Michigan State. Ohio State also beat Penn State. Oklahoma has that win over Ohio State. It's only going to help our case. This is a good game on Saturday, but, I mean, Oklahoma from the gate came out not bullcrap. And usually Oklahoma will take a lead. They'll fart around, let the team come back. This game, they got ahead and they didn't look back. They looked impressive, and if they can do this down the stretch, we may have a Big 12 team that can finally bring us home a championship in this playoff, or whatever, post-BCS era, or whatever era we want to call it, playoff era post-BCS. But it was good, man, and it's nothing else to say except Baker Mayfield is good. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, I got caught jumping on the bandwagon at Kenny Hill too quick. And then Baker Mayfield just shut me up and said, no, I'm the best quarterback in the Big 12. Sit back, watch, and learn. And that's the thing about me. I don't have problems giving respect or props to anybody when they do what they're supposed to do or when they play well. I'm not going to sit around like most of these guys who do talk show or podcast and try and argue no point. Look, right is right, wrong is wrong. And that's how it goes in Big 12 Nation, up and down the I-35 corridor. We don't want to hear your excuses. You argue when you're wrong, say you're wrong, say sorry, keep it moving, give people their just due. That's how life should be. And Baker Mayfield, now, they're talking about his NFL situation, and a lot of people were comparing him to Doug Flutie, but you never know, guys. He could get in to a good situation like Russell Wilson did with the Seattle Seahawks. He's only like 5'11", 6 foot. He could play in the league for years. It's all about that right coach and that right system in the NFL. It's not like college where you got 100 and some different teams and you can find your way around Division I, Division I AA, Division II. Like, you can find your way where you can start and make your mark. You got 30 teams. You're playing with the best players in the world. But, I mean, amongst those 30 teams, there are some pretty bad teams right now. San Francisco 49ers aren't looking good. Cincinnati Bengals aren't looking good. Cleveland Browns are looking terrible. You know, Baker might be able to energize them. So we'll see. He has his chance. Hugh Jackson is an innovative coach. It's all about if he'll make it through this year, though, with the Browns being as bad as they are. So you never know, guys. You know, but Baker Mayfield looked great, and Oklahoma decided. Now, the controversy this week is the Iowa State-Oklahoma State game. I didn't see the end of it, so I'm going to make sure I look it up at some point, because last I looked at it, I was going back and forth between that Ohio State, Michigan State game, guys. It was a blowout, but I thought Michigan State would make an attempt to come back. And I was looking at some other games around the country that could affect our playoffs, some Pac-12 games. But when I turned it, Iowa State was up, I want to say, by two possessions. I can't totally remember, but I'll look at the replay and I'll give my full opinion on it. But, I mean, it does show that Oklahoma State found a way to win again. And some people are going to say they're trying to force Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State again in the Big 12 championship game. I don't know. I'm not in Big 12 meeting rooms. I'm not in with referees and officials, but we'll see. However, Iowa State did lose last week at West Virginia, too, though. So that still wouldn't have – I don't know how that would have made a difference anyway, because they still would have to, you know, do that anyway. I guess some people are trying to argue that would make the most money or revenue because I think our championship game, guys, is at Jerry's World in December. I'll double check on that. But, you know, they got it going. Iowa State's going to a bowl game. Matt Campbell's going to have a long career at Iowa State if he doesn't want to leave to go to one of these SEC schools. I don't think he will. I mean, if he's smart, if he does want to leave Iowa State, maybe leave in a couple of years when the flame starts to run out. But, I mean, if he can get Iowa State to, you know, a bowl game 3 of the next 4 years or 4 of the next 5 years or something like that, he's going to be A-OK. Because that's what that program needs up in Ames. They just need a guy that will bring some consistency to the program, keep life in their program. So I honestly think Matt Campbell will be all right. And I don't think he's going to leave Iowa State anytime soon, because if he can keep that, you know, mentality going and keep getting those recruits that he gets from Ohio, because he's an Ohio football guy, you know, he's going to bring problems to the Big 12. You know, if he reaches out and has that Ohio branch and then also has that Texas recruiting base and the Big 12, you know, normal recruiting base, it's going to be some problems, because you guys know the top five places for high school football in this country. It's obviously Texas, California, Ohio, Florida, and Pennsylvania. ESPN is trying to sell you that propaganda with all these other new states. No, those are still pretty much still the top states. That's why Ohio State's still always good. That's why you see Iowa State beating teams that they're not supposed to beat. You know, that's why you see Michigan State with half of their players from Ohio. It's the same thing with Penn State. So don't let their, you know, they can try an SEC propaganda all you want to, but go look on Nick Saban's roster. He's got a couple Ohio boys down there and a couple Texas boys. By the way, they're starting quarterbacks, a Texas guy. So we ain't trying to hear all the mother states. Us who are real football heads and watch high school football and understand that we know what's going on. So they can play that game, because these kids are born and bred to do these things. The interesting game I want to talk about, guys, is Texas Tech beating Baylor. This is going to set up an interesting showdown with Texas versus Texas Tech, I believe, not the night of Thanksgiving, y'all, that Friday after Thanksgiving. So, you know, after you have had a good meal with your family and enjoyed your time, the holiday time, that'll be something for you and the uncles and brothers and cousins, or just friends from high school or friends from college or wherever, to get back together and link up and do some things. And I think that's a great idea for, you know, any type of family atmosphere over the Thanksgiving break. And I'm sure most people are off now on Wednesday because they've made that the national travel day. I don't even know if banks are open on Wednesday anymore before, but that'll be an interesting one. So Texas Tech beat Baylor. We all thought Texas Tech would beat Baylor. They fought them. You know, Baylor got their first win, so they're not the worst team in conference. And that was a 38-24 win. Now it's basically up to Cliff Kingsbury to see if he wants to get to a bowl game. Next week, they have a tough task, and Baylor will probably finish with one win on the season, but, hey, at least they didn't finish last in the Big 12. You know, Kansas got their win on a non-Big 12 team, but an out-of-conference team, but whatever. Now let's go to Kansas State-West Virginia. This is the game I thought for sure Kansas State would win at home, because they know it's at stake. They know that, you know, they only have two more chances to get bowl eligible. So even though West Virginia is good and they're in that top tier, because we have 10 teams, and you had that top tier, you had the top four. You have the Oklahomas, the Oklahoma State, and then you have TCU, and then you want to throw either West Virginia or Iowa State in there as that fourth best team. And I, you know, Kansas State is just in the middle somewhere, and they catch you off guard with their phenomenal skill set, and that's discipline and just straightforward good energy. But I was shocked they lost this game at home. I couldn't believe it. I thought this – usually Kansas State will upset somebody each year, and this one was at home, and I thought this was going to be their upset, and they just didn't do it. So now that game against Iowa State is going to mean a lot more for them at the end of the year. And also we'll see what Iowa State does, because they're trying to get their seventh win of the year. They're already bowl eligible, but I'm sure they want to get seven wins just to put a stamp on it and they're going to make it very hard for Kansas State to get their bowl victory. So I was shocked that K-State did not pull this out at home. But, you know, hats off to Dana Holgorsen and his West Virginia Mountaineers. Kansas at Texas. Kansas, for some reason, always plays harder against Texas. I mean, 27 points. I think that's the most they've scored the whole season on any Big 12 team. I think they scored 19 on Texas Tech, and Texas Tech put up 65 on them. But this game was more competitive than I thought it would be. I mean, it did jump out to 35-7 and 28-7. So they definitely slowly started to, how do you say, they slowly started to creep their way back in the fourth quarter. But I think Texas had a couple of their backups in. But it was just a little closer than I thought it would be. I didn't think Kansas would score 27 points. So, you know, they're getting better, as I say every week. David Betty, give him one more year, and we'll see what happens from there. Let's talk real quick about college football. I just want to go around college football real quick. And I heard some criticism on Penn State. One of them guests, one of those analysts on ESPN. And some of those damn people, guys, excuse my language, they just get on my nerves where they're always trying to tell somebody what type of play call they should play and what they're supposed to do and all that goofy stuff. And it's just like, look, man, you're not in the coach's shoes. You're not out there coaching. Just shut up, report the scores, you know, give your opinion on a certain player and keep them moving. But don't sit there and say, well, they can draw up all these trick plays, but they can't do this, run the ball. Like, shut up. Well, you go out there and coach then. You draw up something. Like, these people act like it ain't 300-pound, five-star recruit defensive lineman anyway. It's not that easy to run the ball. It's called competition. So there's some of these guys on ESPN, you just be looking at it like, man, just shut up and just talk about the highlights, man, and stop trying to give your opinion like you out there calling the damn plays. So frustrating. And, you know, yesterday people calling this is embarrassment. Guys, we got to just be rational sometimes. Give a coach 4 full years. If he's bullcrapping, get him out of here. Everybody wants to be like, he lost this game. This is an embarrassment. We're human. Sometimes we're at extreme highs and we're at extreme lows. And most of the time, we're just about average where we're supposed to be at. But people act like when something goes wrong, like it's the worst thing on the planet Earth. It's one loss. There's a lot of goofy people out here. There's too many people out here that want to be coaches instead of just being fan. Just be the damn fan. That's all I want to do is promote Big 12 football, be a fan. And then when the facts come, talk about the facts. This guy's lost this many games, he needs to go. Last year, I felt Charlie Strong had all the chances in the world. But when he lost to Kansas, he knew it was over. You can't lose to a team you ain't lost to since the 30s. Are you out of your mind? So, anyway, guys, let's go ahead and talk this week. Texas Tech plays TCU at home. Now, we'll see since TCU lost to Oklahoma if they've just put it in the tank and said, all right, we're bowl eligible now. We're just going to go try and win our bowl game. We're done. We quit. And we'll see if Texas Tech is, especially now that they can smell bowl eligibility, and we'll see if they upset them at home because Texas Tech has not got a big win at home yet this year. But I'm going to still go, I guess, 31-17 TCU. Because of their defense over Texas Tech. But we'll see. Texas Tech could pull it off. Texas at West Virginia. This is a tough one. Texas is trying to get bowl eligibility, and they have good defense, and they play up to Iowa State almost got West Virginia at home. But I see West Virginia finding a way to win at home and them beating Texas something like 28-17 or, you know, 31-24 or something like that, 31-21, somewhere in that range. But I wouldn't be surprised if Texas could pull the upset, but I think West Virginia will find a way to win at home. Let's go Iowa State at Baylor. Iowa State gets their 7th win of the season, and they are, you know, trying to get themselves in a better bowl now. They weren't expected to get to a bowl game. They've had a phenomenal season. Now they're just trying to get themselves to a better bowl game. That will attract their fan base and, you know, bring pride back to the community in Ames. So we're going to go Iowa State, some born 31-14, you know, something like that. But you never know Baylor. Baylor might be like, we're going out with a bang. But I see Iowa State getting the 7th win. Now we got Kansas State and Oklahoma State. K-State's upset chances, I think, were last week. Oklahoma State at home is pretty solid. I think they roll. They win 42-28 or 42-21. Oklahoma at Kansas. Oklahoma 56, Kansas 7. This has been Big 12 Nation, our shortest pod, or excuse me, our short podcast for weekly Big 12 fans. And I want to thank everybody. It's been fun. Check out the College Football Playoff Committee tomorrow night. There's no way that Oklahoma shouldn't be at least number four. If they're not number four, we all just got to sit back and laugh. But I believe Oklahoma should be number four. Miami should be number two. Alabama will be number one. Clemson three, and then they'll probably put Georgia at five or six. That's Big 12 Nation. Like us on the Facebook page, Big12Nation.com. New website, still under construction. We're trying to build it up, find writers. Other than that, guys, everybody have a good week and get ready for next weekend. And we'll see what happens in week 13. Actually, let me go to week 13 while I'm here so I can see what's on the line. All right, guys, so that's Friday and Saturday. We got Baylor at TCU. It's a rivalry game. Texas Tech rivalry game. West Virginia at Oklahoma. Oklahoma should probably win that one. Kansas State has Iowa State at home. That'll be their chance to get bowl eligible. And then Oklahoma State has Kansas at home. So looks like the big boys have a pretty easy chance to win in the final week. But all right, guys, have a good week, Big 12 Nation. Goodbye.